This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Sup, nerds? You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And here it is, straight. Boy, I said the Bears were Super Bowl contenders. I was wrong. And it's not even Nick Foles. Nick Foles isn't good enough. No, Nick Foles is one of those quarterbacks, and most of them fall into this category, highly dependent upon coaching and situation. Nick Foles is not going to make a mediocre offense great or even good. But if he's in a situation that can work, he can run your offense, you know, depending on the offense. But the problem with the Bears is, as is often the case, the offensive line. That was a mismatch. The Bears' offensive line against the Rams' defensive front, really the whole defense, was a mismatch. I mean, the game started off, you get a 10-yard, you get a holding penalty because Aaron Donald's coming to kill the quarterback. So, you know, like, you're constantly backing up, either because you're taking a sack or you're getting a holding penalty go against you. And, you know, it's I always thought holding penalties were a little excessive. 10 yards and you're first down, it's nuts. Because you can call them on any play. But anyway, but also, more importantly even, I think, than that, more important than that, is that if you don't have a pocket to step into, a guy like Nick Foles, who can throw deep, but a guy like Nick Foles, who, let's face it, is also sometimes just relying on those 50-50 balls, right? And it works. You throw a pass down the field, it's a 50-50 kind of ball. If it doesn't work out, the interception's like a punt, as everyone always says, and you might get a PI call, and you might connect. And also, your receivers are thinking, you know, he believes in me. Maybe they play a little better. But the point is, off your back foot, you ain't going to get much on that. So Nick Foles is throwing off his back foot these 50-50 balls because his offensive line is really non-existent. But also, they can't really run block. So I get, look, Nagy, it was like a mismatch offensive line to defensive front. But it was also a mismatch, Nagy to McVay. You know, when you innovate the way McVay did, if the league adjusts to you and you have no answer, it's a parlor trick. It's good that you innovated. As Lupe Fiasco said, did you improve on the design? Did you do something new? Well, McVay did. But if they adjust to you and you can't readjust, it was a parlor trick. Good for you. You did something. But if you can adjust, now maybe you're truly an excellent coach. McVay had a great rookie season as a coach. Backslid a little his second season. And this year, so far, so good. He's much more imaginative and varied in his approach than Nagy, who's very predictable. But in terms of the play calling. But I get that Nagy wants to, like, to establish the run, you gotta run. Even when it doesn't work out so well. You only go picked up 2 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, stopped at the line of scrimmage. But the opposing defense knows they're going to run it. They have to devote some resources to stopping you. The problem with the Bears was, and is, that offensive line not only can't protect the quarterback, they can't block for the run. So you can't really establish the run. The only thing you can establish is that you are going to run. And that ain't enough. And to make it matters worse, you know, like I brought this up the other day. The difference between the Steelers and the Titans, that game came down to special teams. Steelers started out great in the first half. Titans, they dared Tannehill to beat him, great at stopping Derrick Henry, but or limiting him. But Tannehill, you know, go ahead, Tannehill. We think that's beating us with your second best pitch. But Tannehill was doing it. The difference in that game was special teams. If you swap out the kickers and punters between the Steelers and Titans, Titans win the game. And I'm not saying that's the case yesterday. Maybe the Rams win anyway. They were just better. But man, that punter, what's his name? How can I be forgetting his name now? Hecker. Johnny Hecker. Sounds like a fake made-up name from the 50s. Johnny Hecker. Although, we were talking about this before the show. Raj Grobe sounds like a fake made-up name too, Raj. I got to tell you. That's from a bad screenplay. Someone made up the name Raj Grobes. Give me a break.
Oh, it's fresh. Oh, that's pretty fresh, man.
Raj Grobes. You mean, am I expected to believe that's your real name?
He might be onto something.
Right. See? I knew it. Johnny Hecker, too. Raj Grobes and Johnny Hecker. Get out of here.
Oh, it sounds like a great duo.
Yeah, it does. But Johnny, but boy, Hecker was, if you don't have an offensive line, so you can't run block, you can't get anything going on the ground, and your quarterback, who, it's not like he's Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or a guy who's going to be independently great. He needs the right situation. You got a guy like that, and there's no pocket for him to step up into. He's throwing off his back foot when he has time to even get rid of the ball, throwing 50-50 balls down the field off his back foot. But, like, that's bad enough. But when you're constantly getting the ball on your own five, I mean, Hecker was pinning him back with those punts. They were constantly, it was unbelievable. He was able to, that ball just deadens itself on the five-yard line. So, like, it was a recipe for. If Hecker goes on the Bears, right, he's not punting to the Bears. It's a much closer game. I don't think the Bears are going to win that game, but it's a closer game. So anyway, I thought the Bears were contenders because if you give Nick Foles a serious defense, and as serious as the Bears' defense is, I really had thought all this entire season that they, maybe not just scratching the surface, but they had a chance to be a much better defense than they are, and they're a very good defense. But I thought they had a chance to be really good. That's not enough. It's not just that, I mean, Allen Robinson's good, but they have a thin receiving core. They don't have a lot of talent at running back. They don't have an offensive line to create a pocket for the quarterback. But you know, it's crazy. As much as I know why they're drafted later on, I mean, Aaron Donald notwithstanding, defensive tackles, you're like, well, you can approximate a really good defensive tackle and you can get him in the third or fourth round, right? I get that. But the more the game changes, and maybe I'm just stuck in a world that doesn't exist anymore, I really think it comes down to those guards in the center on the one side and the defensive tackles on the other. Because I know it seems like, well, that's the least important on the line. Do you have a push in the middle or not? Do you have a pocket or not? And the answer for Nick Foles is not. They can't run block. They can't pass protect. The quarterback doesn't have a pocket to step into. They don't have dynamism in the offense, except for their lead receiver, who's very good, but that's it. They don't have talent at running back, like elite talent at running back. It's not enough. Now, I've been focusing on the Bears because I said they were Super Bowl contenders, but let me talk about the Rams now, because that's really burying the lead. The Rams are the story. Lakers win the championship. Dodgers might be about to win the championship. I flipped the about and the B. You see that, Raj? Grobes or whatever your name is?
Oh, that's pretty clever. I like that, how you did that.
Raj Grobes sounds like the name of a kid playing with action figures. Makes up for one of his toys. Raj Grobes. This guy's called Raj Joe. Grobes.
G.I. Joe Cobra. Kung Fu Grip.
I like the J on the end of the Raj, though. How'd you come up with that one?
Well, ROG, what does that spell? Rogue?
Rogue
Rog? One? No.
Rog.
It's Raj. Yeah, I had to do something, so I made it
but,
with it.
But now everyone pronounces your name Raj. Get on company meetings, and people are calling in the company Raj.
Well, it's close. Close enough.
Anyway.
Right. But me and Johnny Hecker could be a magical like duo, like a magic show.
Yeah.
Raj Grobes and Donnie.
Rog Grobes. Yeah, Raj Grobes and Johnny Hecker. Star in
Vegas.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll see if I just jinx the Dodgers or not. Knockwood. I kind of think that Snell might win tonight, and something tells me that Kershaw comes out of the bullpen in Game 7 with the World Series on the line. At any rate, the Dodgers have a good chance. They're in the World Series, knotted up late in the series. The Lakers just won the championship. And the Rams, like I came into the game saying the Bears were contenders. Maybe the Rams are, you know? They have a quarterback who, by the way, Goff, just like as I said about Nick Foles, Goff is dependent upon surroundings. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not someone like that. Boy, this guy's going to be great no matter where he is. He's not quite that, right? But we've seen Goff deep into a season a couple years ago on the kind of outskirts of on the margins of the MVP conversation about two-thirds through the Rams Super Bowl season. Remember that? Everyone was saying the Rams might have, because people are forgetting already, the Rams, the year they went to the Super Bowl, most of the season were considered the favorites. It was supposed to be Rams versus Chiefs. It wound up Rams versus Patriots because Tom Brady lost the AFC Championship game on an interception, and then they called it back on a pre-snap penalty, and Mahomes never got to touch the ball again. But all year, the two offenses that everyone, oh my God, the Chiefs and the Rams, but the reason the Rams were favored is because they also had a defense compared to the Chiefs. And more than that, you had three legit MVP candidates about two-thirds of the way through that season on LA. You had Aaron Donald, of course, you had Todd Gurley, and you had Jared Goff. So yes, Goff, like Foles, is dependent upon what's around him, right? When Gurley wasn't the same last year, play action wasn't the same, Goff looked very ordinary. But he looks pretty good when he has stuff around him. He's not just like a journeyman type of quarterback. He's that plus. He's whether or not you consider him the franchise quarterback that you want, there are starting quarterbacks and there are franchise quarterbacks. This guy happens to be starting this year, but this guy is the quarterback of your franchise. You're going to roll with him for a long time. Whether or not Goff is a franchise quarterback plus, he's a starter plus at least, and probably a franchise quarterback. That's pretty good. And he has a lot of good receivers. It's not like they have one guy who you're like, oh my God, that's the greatest guy I've ever seen. But everywhere you look, you have a guy who can catch the ball and do something with it. And then you have not only a defense, but you have upper echelon playmakers on the defense. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. You can't really approximate those guys on other teams. Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, this team has a good defensive tackle and a Pro Bowl quarterback or whatever, but you have one of the greatest defensive players of all time in his prime at defensive tackle, and you have a guy in the conversation for best player in a secondary, in the conversation, like he's one of the names you'd mention, in Jalen Ramsey, and you have a good defense. It's like if you look at Seattle, they have a version of that, no Aaron Donald, but Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams when they're healthy, it's like, boy, that's not just a good safety and a good linebacker. That's a special talent at two defensive positions. But then the rest of the Seattle defense, you go, it could be better. Rams got a pretty good defense, and they have those difference playmakers. Playmakers, what am I trying to say? It's the second time I messed it up. The difference makers on defense, I don't know. That was straight talk, no contract, no compromise. Straight talk by saying this. The Lakers won the championship. The Dodgers have a damn good shot. The Rams, at this moment, are in the conversation. Like, look at teams like, who could win a Super Bowl this year? I like the Chiefs against the field. But when you talk about the others, Rams top five? Are they in my power rankings this week? You'll see coming up. Meantime, is it time for the Patriots to bench Cam? Cam Newton's embarrassed, admits his starting job may be in jeopardy, told Boston Sports Radio, WEEI, one day after throwing three interceptions in the Patriots' blowout loss to the Niners. Cam Newton says he realizes he can't have too many more poor performances. Well, here, listen to Cam, straight from the horse's mouth.
Nervous? No. Scared? Absolutely not. Thinking? Now, that's something that I could, probably finger point. But yet, there's no need to feel any type of way besides accepting all challenges. And I have to get better. I I'm adamant about it.
I got to say, for so much of Cam Newton's career, when I heard him talk, it reminded me of A-Rod. And there are some basketball players like this too. A friend of mine said about A-Rod once, and it stuck with me. He's so uncomfortable in his own skin. Not anymore. I think A-Rod's a great broadcaster, actually. Great broadcaster. And he was a great player. But as a player, when he would give interviews, he seemed so uncomfortable in his own skin that when you watched him, when you listened to him, you felt uncomfortable in yours. That's how I described Cam Newton once upon a time. Like, Cam couldn't, you never felt like he was telling you the truth. You felt like he was telling you he had to run everything he was really thinking through a filter and try to give you a PC answer. I could contrast that with, like, Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck, because Luck came out in the same draft or one draft later than Cam. But in college, it was like, who'd you rather have, Cam or Luck? As it turns out, Cam went to a Super Bowl and lasted longer and won an MVP. I wouldn't have guessed it in college. Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson, they drank the Kool-Aid so long ago, the NFL Kool-Aid, the football Kool-Aid, that they have so, like, they've so internalized all that football stuff that they give you the answer, it comes out like a shot. Automatically, it comes right out of them. And it's totally PC football stuff. By PC, I mean, in the football world, that's what they want to hear you say. But you know, they don't seem uncomfortable in their own skin. It's just that, you know, because they could, Andrew Luck said, you know, starts talking what he needs to, what he needed to do, or Russell Wilson starts talking about his team. It's like, yeah, he believes that. He believes, and he doesn't have to think about the right answer, run it through a filter. It just comes right out of him because he drank that Kool-Aid a long time ago. Cam never gave me that feeling. On the Patriots, whenever he talks now, I no longer have that uncomfortable in his own skin to the point where I feel uncomfortable in mine listening to him. I feel like this dude means that stuff. So, should he be worried about his job? Should they bench him? Well, here's the thing. Cam Newton, to start the season, behind Cam Newton, the Patriots beat the Dolphins. Keep in mind, this Dolphins team last year, at the end of the season, the Patriots needed that win to get a bye in the first round. Miami beat him. Miami beat him in a game they needed to have. And what happened? The Patriots were knocked out by the Titans. Didn't win a playoff game. Then, and they won by 10 points, by two scores, week one. It turns out it's a pretty good win against the Dolphins. Not just a divisional win, but the Dolphins are 3-3. Then week two, they play the Seahawks. Cam looked great in that game. It was not clear who was better between Cam and Russell Wilson in that game. It was close. Well, the Patriots lost, but I was very impressed with Cam. Then they played the Raiders, and Cam didn't look so great. But they won, and I thought, that's a good test. You know, like, it's a good indicator of where Cam is. He didn't play great, but behind his leadership and the Patriots' defense, the Patriots won. Then he got COVID, and he missed the game. And the Patriots couldn't practice. Then he came back and he had two really poor performances. Bad performances, right? Well, is it possible that he's still feeling the effects of COVID? Is it possible even against the Raiders he already had it? Was asymptomatic or just becoming symptomatic maybe? Like, we don't know the after effects of COVID. There are cases of people developing glaucoma and pain in different parts of their body after they're no longer presenting symptoms, when they have the antibodies already, when they're no longer contagious. We don't know the long-term effects or even the short or intermediate effects. So on the one hand, as I mentioned on First Take today, Cam is playing poorly enough where I'm actually asking, is he feeling the after effects of a deadly disease? Because that might explain it. On the other hand, he really might be. I think it is too soon to give up on Cam Newton. I think he has shown in this very season elite stuff at times. He's learning a new offense. He has fewer weapons even than Brady had last year. Everyone was lamenting how few weapons Brady had. Well, he doesn't have Edelman like last year. He has him this year, a year older. All nine opt-outs on the defense before the season even starts. So he has no defense. He has no offense. He's learning a new system this very season. And yet I've said, and he got COVID. and they haven't been able to practice. And yet I have seen in this very season qualities in Cam that make me think, and performances, full game performances in Cam that make me think, that dude looks excellent. It has been inconsistent. But given everything I just said, I would not give up on Cam Newton as a starter for the Patriots. Were I the Patriots. By the way, Jared Goff was breaking moves last night, throwing 2 touchdown passes. It is his 3rd straight game with multiple passing TDs.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
We're so sponsored, I don't even know. Like, I'm talking about Jared Goff all of a sudden, someone's breaking moves? All right. By the way, we might get an NBA season as an early Christmas gift. But will the king be there? That's the question. Heard what LeBron or what Danny Green had to say about LeBron? 2020 has changed the world of sports. Some teams are modifying their stadiums and arenas while others are letting fans buy virtual seats in the stands. These changes have created demand for unexpected roles from plexiglass screen installers to video platform support specialists. Whether you need to hire for new positions like these or more familiar positions, there's only one place to go, ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's why you should try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Not the Pennzoil Shell Performance Line, Raj, that would be ridiculous. For a chance to win 10 grand plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Le Batard Show gang, text Lebatard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit 1 entry per day. See advanceautoparts.com for details. Danny Green says LeBron might sit the first month if the NBA starts in December. He is appearing on the Ringer NBA Show podcast, and it was speculation. But when Danny Green says it about LeBron, it's speculation, but maybe, you know, it comes from conversations. Look, LeBron's be 36 in December. He just won his 4th finals, but he'd appeared in his 10th. And he's played in the Olympics. And he has a worldwide brand. The guy is going nonstop. Now, I get why LeBron wouldn't play. The question is, how do the other NBA players feel? And should the league try to accommodate them and start later, say in January sometime? Well, Stephen A. and I were talking about it on First Take today. Stephen A. brought up the fact that there's enormous TV money on the line for the league that could lower the overall revenue of the league if they don't start before the new year. I would say this about the NBA. The NBA has, and the players, have real good partners in each other as far as their business is concerned. They've been very cooperative with each other recently and have shown more trust and a better working relationship than the NFL and the NFLPA and baseball and the Players Association in baseball. Recall that baseball wanted the players to be in bubbles and the players said, no, we don't want that. It's too long away from the families. And the players wanted 82 games. And eventually they couldn't come to an agreement. So MLB unilaterally imposed a 60-game season and prorated salaries. The NFL, the players didn't want a bubble. And the NFL, the teams didn't want to shorten the season. But the NBA, and they had advantages. It's a sport that involves fewer participants. So it's not as difficult logistically to get them all in a bubble. Their regular season was almost over when this started. The NBA did it right. The players and the owners had good partners and made good faith negotiations and showed everyone the way it should be done. 0 COVID cases the entire time. 0. And they crowned a champion, and the playoffs were great. What does the NBA do now? Do they try to accommodate the players, good partners that, you know, have been working with them? Look, I'm not talking about what... Look, let me put it this way. I would respect whatever the players want to do. They've earned it. I would also say that this is what I think they should do if I'm being asked what they should do. I think they should start in December. I think that people experience their lives, in you know, relative to their surroundings. If NBA players make millions of dollars, they're used to living a certain lifestyle. It is true if they're in a bubble in a hotel with bad food or whatever, you know, they might be, you know, for months on end and in isolation, and they might be like, come on, I got to go right back into that. Come on. On the other hand, while they might be thinking like, well, the bubble with bad food, you know, other people across the country might be thinking, wait, they got food? You know, the NBA players are working very hard, but there's a guy with like a jackhammer who's also working very hard, not getting paid the same way, and not getting any special, you know, recognition or understanding about his schedule. In fact, blue-collar workers and even skilled workers are being asked to take greater risks and oftentimes do more work in these circumstances. So I don't know that there'll be a lot of public sympathy, even though I think there ought to be, for someone like LeBron James, who has the job that he has. Now, again, the as people say, the optics of that would not be great for NBA players because that's a hard sell. During a pandemic when everyone should be making sacrifices of some kind, right? Where close to 250,000 Americans have now died. Where we're still walking around, like it's been so disastrously handled by the executive branch of the federal government that we are all walking around with masks still, and it's not getting any better. They closed too late. They opened too early. They've given up now. They say, well, we're the pandemic. We're never going to get control of it. So, like, it's a mess. It's a mess right now. And people, you know, things are not good. And I don't know how much sympathy people will have for, you know, millionaire NBA players to say, well, but we just stopped playing basketball 2 months ago, and now we have to start playing basketball again for all the millions. It's not that I don't understand. I do think it's asking a lot from them. And again, not only did they show everyone how it was done, spending time away from their families, all those things, and you could say, well, everyone, but you experienced new conditions compared to your old conditions. It's not like NBA players are simply handed this lifestyle. It's not like they have, you know, billionaire fathers who just gave them stuff like James Dolan or someone like that and feel entitled for no good reason. Born on third base, thought they hit triples. No, they worked their entire lives, often from bad circumstances, to become the best in the world at an incredibly competitive field. In an incredibly competitive field. What do I mean by that? It is hardly an exaggeration to say everyone in the world who can play in the NBA plays in the NBA. Like, go look at anyone who's like 6'10" or better, and then look at the percentage of them who play NBA basketball. And the others who, unless you're Michael Crichton, the writer, who was 6'10", and you could make millions of dollars selling your books, chances are you're gonna take the opportunity if the NBA would have you and play there, right? And since that's the highest league, if you play basketball anywhere in the world, you want to play in the NBA usually. It's barely an exaggeration to say everyone in the world who can play in the NBA is playing in the NBA. Go talk to any NFL player. If you could play in the NBA, would you? Oh, hell yeah. Longer career, much less punishment, much more famous usually. You're not playing with a helmet or anything. Guaranteed contracts. Yeah, they would. So you work your whole life up to the uppermost echelon of maybe the most competitive business on earth. It's not so I get it. If there's some sensitivity among NBA players where they're like, oh, hold on, time out. And no one gave me this. I didn't just get this. You know, I'm used to nice circumstances because I worked my whole life for them. And I have a special talent that I honed to get there. I'm sympathetic to that idea. I think it's true, in other words. But it doesn't change the fact that that's not most people's experience. Most people's experience is the job that they were lucky enough to have doesn't exist anymore. Not most people, but many people's experience. It doesn't even exist anymore, right? If only they could just even have the job they don't even like back for the same salary they were making and benefits. Oh, that'd be great. Tough in that environment with a raging pandemic, over 70,000 people, a day, new cases a day now in the United States, to kind of publicly sell the plight of NBA players, even though I believe it does exist. They have a right to be like, come on, guys, we just finished the season. I would think maybe you just start in December and not like it so much, but, you know, go on. And by the way, if LeBron wants to take a month off, take it. No one's going to begrudge LeBron taking a month off. And on top of everything else, they're like leading on social justice issues. Don't think that doesn't take a lot of effort, energy, a thick skin. No, I get it. There's a lot. But I think probably with the money on the line and given what's going on, maybe starting before the new year is not such a bad idea. And maybe LeBron doesn't start till late January. Everyone would understand. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Jerry Jones, the problem? Axe Max is next. With help from the Home Depot, you can take on fall projects without ever leaving your own backyard. Use the mobile app to search, shop, and more. Flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. Just rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Get ready for fall with help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Axe Max coming up. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Every segment I throw out the number, and every segment Raj gets in my ear. Don't take calls yet. I want to hear from the people, Raj. I'm a man of the people. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
X. Max.
See that? I want to take calls, but Raj wants to get in on the action and hear his voice on the radio. Go ahead, Raj. Ask me what you need to ask me.
Oh, no. This isn't where I ask you. This is where the callers ask you.
Very good.
A month straight now. Yeah, the same
Excellent.
Format.
We didn't embarrassed change anything. You into
Thanks
it.
For keeping up. Yes.
Champ in San Antonio, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Anything Jerry touches is cursed. Mm. You almost said cursed on the show, but you didn't. They said everything on the show to prove that everybody leaves the Cowboys and becomes great. This is how he got cursed. He fired Tom Landry over the radio.
Yep. On the phone, you mean?
Over the radio. Over the phone, or what? Okay, you got the facts over the phone. Okay, now Jimmy came in and said, "Hey, what are you doing, man? Herschel Walker isn't the thing. I'm going to trade Herschel Walker. I'm going to show you how to do it." So he gets the players. He wins the championship. Jerry's not satisfied. So he gets Barry. He's still not satisfied with those championships. He tries to pick his own players and his own coaches, and he can't win the championship ever since. So I need you to shoot holes in that.
No, I agree with you. I believe in sports curses. I am not a religious man, but when it comes to sports, I'm extremely superstitious. I believe in sports curses. You're right. Jerry Jones wasn't good enough to win the Super Bowl. He had to win it his way. Couldn't be with Jimmy Johnson because Jimmy Johnson was getting too much credit, had too big an ego. I'll show him how to do it. Hire Barry Switzer, won one more Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's players, and then nothing since then. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know if it's about the firing of Tom Landry, but maybe that is because you always have to look for the cause of the curse. Maybe it was Tom Landry. This is probably pretty good one. Was it over the radio? I thought it was over the phone. I don't remember. I, you know the expression, I've forgotten things you'll never know, or vice versa? This is what happens when you get a little older. I'm 47 years old. I've forgotten stuff I used to know. Jeremy and Rye, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line with news from Max Kellerman Nation. Go ahead. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Go, Jeremy.
What's up, Max? I just wanted to ask you, do you think Antonio Brown will actually make a big difference on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady? Because I feel like he's just not really going to be the biggest difference that people think.
Well, I do think so, and I'll tell you why. The offense is already excellent. But Tom Brady's not a dynamic quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. And now you have, like, so – already it was really good. And if you have Godwin and Mike Evans and you have your tight ends, because if you think on paper what the team has with O.J. Howard and Brate and Gronkowski, that's already an embarrassment of riches in terms of receivers. You add – one of the best who ever did it, still in his prime, to that. If it was a 10 or 11 win team, it's at least a 12 win team now. And the defense is not only good, but it's trending up. And it was good last year. I know what you mean. Like, well, they already have a lot of stuff. Is it redundant? No. Look at AB's effect on Juju Smith-Schuster in Pittsburgh. He's going to make Godwin and Evans, when they're on the field, just impossible. It's going to be impossible. Will in Wisconsin, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. I was wondering if you think there are any teams in the NFC North that are actually a legitimate threat to the Packers.
Nah, I thought the Bears, but they don't have an offensive line. Although, with the Packers, it may not matter that much because the Packers don't have a great defense. But that offensive line, if you can't protect the quarterback and you can't make a pocket and you can't for him to step into and you can't block for the run and your coach is not imaginative with his play calling even, and you don't have a great quarterback. You have a solid one who can be great when you need him to be, but he needs to be in the right situation in the right offense, and this ain't it. That's news from Max Kellerman Nation. Who was that? Will hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Bears who we thought they were?